to read one verse from the passage that Bruce already read. Romans 15, 7. Welcome one another, therefore, as Christ has welcomed you to the glory of God. When the day comes that by his grace we find ourselves walking into the banquet hall of God, the first thing that will strike us will be unspeakable glory. For a while, we won't even be able to take our eyes off him. The most magnificent sunrise that we've ever seen will be as nothing compared with the awe that will fill us as we look at our Messiah. Our eyes will see the King in his beauty. Every stone in that place will just throb with a light that streams from his face. The second thing that will strike us about the banquet hall of God will be the atmosphere of welcome. Everybody in that vast multitude will know you by name. They'll welcome you with open arms. And you will find yourself, to your own amazement, doing the same thing, welcoming other people, people you've never seen before, by name. There won't be the slightest bit of self-consciousness, not the shadow of a feeling left out or shy or afraid or unwanted. The Lord will just welcome his children, and everybody will just stand up and worship and praise him. And then they'll turn to each other and begin to welcome one another into the very glory of God. Meanwhile, every assembly of believers on this earth is meant to be a foretaste of that day in which these two signs of the kingdom are obvious to anybody who seeks the kingdom. See, anybody who's looking for the kingdom of God, who comes into the gathered church anywhere on this earth, if it is really the church, should be struck by these two things. First, by glory. He should see God's glory. See, and know that this is streaming from the face of Jesus. Jesus is in that place. I don't know how to explain it. I don't know, understand myself how I know it, but I know it. I can see it. I can feel it. And the very, just being in that atmosphere renews my spirit and refreshes my body. And the second thing which should strike people who are looking for the kingdom of God every time they come into the gathered church, if it's really the church, anywhere on earth, is the atmosphere of welcome. They not only see glory, but they are welcomed into that glory. Every face in that multitude shines with welcome and joy. Even the shy ones, even the quiet ones, are smiling, a real smile. So glad to see this newcomer. So glad to see this face I haven't seen for a while. And the people who come in, stumbling in from the world outside, just know that they have finally come home, that this is where they belong. Now, it's not within our power to cause that first sign of the kingdom of God to manifest itself. No, we can't cause the glory of God to shine forth in the midst of his people. This is something that only the Lord himself can do, and he does it. Whenever two or three are really gathered in Jesus' name, he's there. And when he's there, his glory is there. And he is able to manifest his glory to anybody who seeks. But the second sign of the kingdom is within our power to manifest. It is within our power under the anointing of the Spirit of God to give a real welcome to those who seek God's kingdom. Not welcome to our club, or welcome to our organization, not welcome to our doctrinal position. See, but welcome to the glory of God. Welcome one another as Christ also welcomed you to the glory of God. Now, if we are not creating that atmosphere of welcome for those who seek God's kingdom, something's wrong. See, if the way we live and the things that come out of our mouths in any way cause people to feel unwanted, unimportant, forgotten, left out, unworthy, worthless. See, then we can mouth all we like about the gospel. We can preach the gospel until doomsday and nothing will ever come of it. This was the thing which separated Jesus from the scribes and Pharisees. Jesus made people feel welcome to the kingdom. And the scribes and Pharisees made people feel uncomfortable. What was he doing when he was healing the sick and opening the eyes of the blind? He was as much as saying, welcome to the kingdom. When he fed the multitudes, he was saying, welcome to the kingdom. If any man thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Welcome. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Welcome. Truly, truly, I say to you, today you are going to be with me in paradise. Welcome. And see, and people responded to this. Well, the tax collectors and sinners drew near to him to hear him. Multitudes followed him because of the miracles which he did on those who were diseased. And even those people who decided to take off their mask and go through that narrow door and follow Jesus as disciples, while they were warned of persecution and told to count the cost, were nevertheless given a tremendous welcome. How Jesus rejoiced over his little flock. How he encouraged them. Blessed are the eyes which see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings desired to see what you see and did not see it, to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves with bags that don't grow old. And to this day, the Lord Jesus, in the midst of his people, the church, constantly gives a welcome to his saints, to his disciples. You know, there's not the slightest reservation as he says to his children, welcome, my children. I'm so glad you answered my invitation. But just as the experience of the forgiveness of Jesus in his church hinges on the willingness of Jesus' disciples to show forgiveness to each other, so the flow of this welcome that Jesus gives in the church hinges on our willingness to really welcome others. Jesus can welcome people right up until the last day, and he does. But that welcome will not be felt or known where believers aren't carrying it on, aren't spreading it out, aren't manifesting it in their lives. And in this epistle, which we read today, we are shown two aspects of this welcome that we are to give to other people. And the first is that we are to welcome one another into the glory of God. That's inside the family. Inside the household of faith, there is to be a spirit of warm welcome. How in the world are we going to make these people outside the kingdom who are looking for God know that God is present in this earth if in the family of faith the atmosphere is frigid? See, and it's more than just emotion that we go through. This welcome that we are to give to each other is a thing of the heart. Now, from time to time, it may indeed break up the tension to stand up and shake hands with each other, and that's beautiful. See, but if it's not of the heart, and if there isn't a genuine warmth in here, after a while, that becomes a sham and a disgrace. You know, we can all get up and shake hands with each other and smile at each other and still hate each other. Smile indeed, see, but let it be more than your face. Is my heart really warm to my brothers and sisters with no exceptions? Oh, but there are certain things about that brother that I just can't stand, you know. And that sister is basically a hypocrite. You know, and that brother is an undisciplined slob. And what are you? You, the epitome of true discipleship. You have a blood brother, let's say, you know, who's done all kinds of foolish, stupid things. He's still your brother. You still love him. And when he calls, you answer, or you should. You have a child, a son, a daughter. He's going off the track. You're going to disown him? Is he any less your son because he went off the track? You're going to go when he calls. So likewise, your brother and sister in the flock is really your sister, really your brother. See, and you welcome him not because he's so worthy of your great welcome, but because the Lord welcomed you with all your scars and smears. Now, it's true, I know. Scripture says that if somebody, a brother, a believer, is living in open sin and refuses to repent, then that person has to be dealt with severely. True. But notice, even that has to be done in a genuine love that's ready to welcome that person back at any point. See, and God, I'm convinced, never gives that kind of job to any man or woman who hasn't yet learned to have a warm heart. Don't be worrying about how to excommunicate people. You know, first learn how to welcome people. Lord, is my heart really warm toward my brother? Am I really thoughtful? Now, don't be worrying about whether people are thoughtful of you. You know, measure, see how many Christians we have in here today. See how many people were nice to me. But am I really thoughtful of my brother, my sister? Thoughtful enough to lift that person up before the throne. Thoughtful enough to have some sense of how she feels. Thoughtful enough to go out of my way a little bit, or quite a bit. Thoughtful enough to do a little bit less preaching to him and a little bit more listening. Clearly, the Spirit of God is calling the church, the believers, to welcome each other into God's glory. See, and even if that brother has seen 10 times more of God's glory than you've ever seen, your desire for that brother's blessing will increase his experience of God's glory. That's good. And if he should be going through hard times, and many times he is, and you don't know it, what a lift this gives him or her to have brothers and sisters welcoming him into God's kingdom again, into God's glory. Now, the second aspect of this welcome that we are to manifest is aimed beyond the church, to the Gentiles. Notice how much in that epistle today, in the back of your bulletin, is aimed at the Gentiles, that is, the people outside the household of faith. You know, Jesus was not just given to confirm the promises made to Israel, but that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. He was given not just so that we can have a good time before the throne of God here together today, but so that those people outside who have never seen God's mercy might have hope. And so we're sent out with gospel, good news, not gloom and doom. If they want gloom and doom, all they have to do is read their newspaper. See, but we have something hopeful to give them, to make them see that they are being welcomed now into the kingdom of God. The door is still open, waiting for multitudes to come in. And so we go for the people who are forgotten and who are left out and whom the world passes by, whoever they are. See, and we welcome them not just with our mouths, but in our actions. So you take time with that person. and you have this one over for dinner, and this one over here, you give some money so that he can get his heat turned back on. See, and when these people see that your welcome is not just another bunch of words, but that it's real, then he will know that finally he has found home, the Father's house, where everything's all right, and where his name is written on the chair that he's supposed to sit on at the table. So when we witness to our old friends, or when we share on our jobs, or when we go out on the streets with literature, and we're not going there to scare people to death or to, you know, frighten them into repentance. We are there to show them the one place, to invite them, to welcome them to the one place where they can experience forgiveness. The cross of Jesus, where divine human blood is shed for their sins and the door is open and that veil has been ripped away and they can come in. And I, when I'm lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. See, and how does he draw all men to himself? By putting a spirit of welcome in our hearts and in our mouths. So as the skies out there grow darker, and they will, and as the outlook for this troubled earth becomes more and more ominous, and it will, God's light shines ever more brightly on his people. And the warmth that streams from the open door of God's kingdom, and it's still open, becomes more and more inviting. Our Heavenly Father doesn't want one soul left outside who really wants to be in. So may it be, you know, may the welcome of heaven mark our ministries out there in the world. And may the welcome of heaven mark our dealings with each other. And may the welcome of heaven be heard by any person in this room right now who still stands outside the door. May you hear that welcome right now. Let's pray. First of all, Father, we pray for any man or woman, anybody, who stands outside that door of the kingdom looking in. If there should be such a person here, we just ask that every kind of encouragement that may come, and that the barriers may just fall down, and that he or she may find himself inside the kingdom before he leaves this house today. And Lord Jesus, we just thank you and praise you for the way in which you welcomed us without any worthiness or merit on our own part, and adopted us, O Heavenly Father, as your children. And we pray that you will deal, O God, today with those things in us that are making other people feel unwelcome. Open our eyes, O God, that we may see how they feel, and our hearts that we may really care. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.